When I was in college, there began a trend, well, to my awareness, that is, it was probably happening before that, I just didn't know about it, that people would kind of take the Bible like this. This is my hymnal, I know that. Okay, they would take a Bible and they would go, and then they would read that verse, that section. And their attitude was that, and it's not all bad, that the Bible is God's divine word, that's true, and that the Bible had messages for them, that's truth number two. But then they would take those few sentences and try to figure out, what did it mean for me? Now, there are some verses in the Bible that if you did that, it would get really confusing because you aren't taking it in context. That is, within the whole chapter or within the whole book. You know, there's the time, for example, if you had done that and you flipped through and you came across the section and it said, Balaam tied his ass to a tree. You know, what do you do with that one? When you take a simple phrase out of context, you can go anywhere with it. What happens with this chapter in Genesis then is sometimes we get sidetracked. We want to know about what customs were, what the social customs were, the cultural traditions were, if guests showed up at your tent. What were you supposed to do? And then there's the great study of documents and all the history and all the references in literature, both biblical and secular, about what they did, especially as Bedouins, you know, the nomadic people. And when they came to your house, your tent, what you were supposed to do. And even if it was your enemy, and you were in the desert, what was proper? If we approach this chapter with that kind of thinking, we're going to fall short of the glory of God that is revealed here. Now, it's a glory of God that's not just given to me. It's given to all of us, okay? Because this chapter followed 17, and 17 sets up Abraham's response in 18. In chapter 17, the Lord God has showed up to Abraham, and he showed himself, and he told Abraham, one, I will establish a covenant with you called circumcision. Two, you will have a son. Your wife will deliver, become pregnant, and have a baby. And in that chapter, Abraham chuckles in a way because Abraham says, I'm going to have a son at 100. I'm 100 years old, and my wife is 10 years younger, and she's going to have a baby. And in this time, yes, earlier, some people were living very, very long lives. You know about Methuselah, 900 and something, you know. But still, after the flood, the life expectancy, the span of life, started to rapidly decrease. And Abraham had a realistic view of himself. He was past fathering children, and his wife was past giving birth. Now, we know nothing's impossible with God. When Sarah hears about it, she snickers. She thinks that's funny. Some woman would say, no way, and not even funny. But you understand that chapter sets up because now the Lord shows up again with two angels. How does Abraham know? Well, he encountered the Lord earlier. By faith, I think he's just given spiritual discernment. It's the Lord. And there he entertains them and he offers them the best of what he has. He offers them a place to rest under the tree in the shade. He says, I'm going to get a morsel. Boy, that morsel was like Thanksgiving dinner. Three sayas and a calf? That wasn't a snack. That's not a morsel. I mean, can three people eat all that beef? Think about it. You know, there's a restaurant that serves, I forget how big the steak is, and if you eat it all, it's free. Y'all know about this one? Yeah. I wouldn't even try it. So when Abraham shows this response to God, sometimes we start to take this chapter and we put it into our human thinking. We flip the page, we came to Genesis 18, we read this and we say, what does it mean to me? And it means that if I do God a favor, he'll do a favor for me. If I do something for God, he'll do something for me. If I come to church on Sunday, he will bless me because I came to church. If I serve in the church, you know, a few times a year, then it, as a businessman, I should expect success and because God's going to do something for me. And we get this human thinking. It's the phrase, you know, I do you a favor, you do me. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You know, I help you out, you help me. One good turn deserves another. And if we think of that, we have gone down the wrong alley. Because that's not what this is about. Can you ever pay God back? See, as good Lutherans, you already know. Nope, can't do that. Do you ever act like, think like you can bargain with God? Go ahead, nod your head yes. I'm not looking. We do that, don't we? We think we can bargain with God. We think we have something to offer God. We think we have something that we can do for God that God can't do without us. And it's sad. What this lesson, this chapter reminds us is that all that we do for God is a response for what God does for us. And it's never a match. It's never balancing. It's never equal. All that God promised for Abraham, and it was a promise given long ago, and now he's about 100 years old, and he thinks God can't, it's going to be hard. I don't know how he's going to keep this word, but God chooses to keep his word as he always has kept his word. And so when he does this morsel and he does the calf and he makes sure that they have enough water and enough food and all that they need, it is a response to the abundance that God has given him. Now in our culture today, in what ways do we live that way, and in what ways do we not live that way? Think about it. Some of us, and you know my humor, and I know you. You know, Pastor, you went a little long today. You know? My bargain with God is, Pastor gets an hour. Right? After that, the rest of the day is mine. Dorothy Brock had the classic, I'm not picking on you because I love you so much, but one Sunday she said, Pastor, that was good. A little long, but that was good. Next time you're going to do it that long, can we have an intermission with coffee? I loved it. I loved it. I had so much fun with that in my heart, you know? But we bargain with God. We bargain with him about our time, about our generosity, our talents, our energy. We bargain with God. And we almost follow that commercial that had that question, what have you done for me lately? And if we picture God having not done anything for us lately, our hospitality towards God, our generosity towards God, our response to God, it starts to plummet, doesn't it? But as Abraham himself in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, has pointed out, he was a man of faith. As Abraham, by his own lifestyle and choices, indicates that Abraham, even when he was old, he had hope. He counted on the promises of God. That it was a guarantee. It was a certainty. If God said it, it will be. And with that certainty came a response of the full heart. A heart of joy, a heart of hope, a heart of celebration. In his particular circumstances, it showed up in the food and the flour and the water and the meat. But it also showed up in his walk with God, in his marriage, and his parenting of Isaac. Because later on, I think it's around Genesis 22, God says, Abraham, I want you to offer up your only son. And Abraham does that. Packs up the wood, takes his son with him up to the hilltop, and there he is going to sacrifice his son to God. How God's going to keep his word, he had no clue. But that walking with God didn't begin with that journey to the hilltop. That walk with God began a long time ago. And in his marriage and in his, by faith, he continued to rejoice and serve the Lord. And he said, this is what the Lord God said. And it's recorded for us in Genesis, as well as all the other books of the Bible. This is what God says to us. Your joy in Christ, your life in Christ, your response to Christ comes only when you have received by the power of the Spirit the gift of faith and the connection that Christ takes away your sin. That Christ gives you pardon and peace. That Christ will overcome death as he himself rose from the dead, and Christ gives you the resurrection. Again, can you outgive God? Not really. But depends upon where our focus is at, what we're valuing at the time. We fall into the temptation to consider some insignificant things as very precious. It's almost as if we take the stuff that is ours and we say to God, mine. Like a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and teenagers. Mine. You can't have this. What Abraham reminds us is that all that we are and all that we have is from God. And when we look at it that way, responding to God joyfully and generously, even celebrating, becomes a lot easier as we live by faith. Amen.